Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Yo, what's happening, Rush Nation? It is championship week, baby. And for those of you that have joined us on the live stream, welcome in, welcome in. You can see Murphy's currently sat in front of an American football field for your viewing pleasure. Big man, how are you, my friend? It's championship week, baby.
It is championship week, yes. Apologies for this not happening yesterday. I had a bit of a virus. I spent the day in bed, but I'm fine. I'm back to riding the lightning, as you will. So, yeah, championship week. It's been 109 days since the NFL season started. And we have 4 days left of the fantasy season, unless you play in week 18. I did put an interesting poll out there, which I'll share the results shortly. Yeah, it's a busy week. A lot of finals, a lot of championships I want to win this week. So fingers crossed, I put a lot of ships in the harbour. Unfortunately, went out of the Scottish Bowl this week, and unfortunately, both our Kings Classic teams lost this week. No small feat, thanks to Devonta Adams, Aidan O'Connell. Shout out to Aidan O'Connell, any guy who cannot complete a pass in the final 47 minutes of a game and still win a game over the Super Bowl champions. Hats off to you. That is winning different, my friends. That is winning different.
How many pass attempts did he have?
Well, after the point where he stopped completing them.
Yeah.
I think he missed, I have to tell you, I have to look it up. It was at least 15. Yeah, it was a lot. I mean, he missed a lot of consecutive passes. Let me look up. I'll give you an exact number. I might have to go back and actually count them, but let me give you a rough, let me give you a number. So his stat line on the day was 9 of 21. The ninth completion was for a yard. He had 9 of 21 for 62 yards. He didn't complete. Okay, so it's not quite as many as I thought, because he only missed 13 passes. So he didn't complete. Let me find. Right.
It doesn't matter how many, really. Too many.
Yeah, I mean, so he completed on the last pass he completed was for 1 yard, and that was when they went 3-0 up right before the field goal. So he completes the 1 yard pass on the 7 to move the ball to the 6, where Carlson kicks a 24-yard field goal to put them up 3-0 in a game that finished 20-14. So he missed 1, 2, 3, 4, And there's the we're going to exclude the Neil. That's not a pass. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
This is wild audio.
10.
And video. I mean, if yeah, you're what, lucky 11. To watch this.
11. 11 consecutive missed passes.
I wonder what the record is for a single game of consecutive missed passes.
It means he started 9 of 10 and then finished 9 of 21.
Did someone just switch him off? Like, what happened?
He was just bad. He just was awful. You know, what's funny is Patrick Mahomes was absolutely terrible in this game and yet still looked like a Super Bowl MVP compared to Aiden O'Connell and yet still won the game. And if you started Devontae Adams, you probably lost. I did win a couple of matchups where I did start him, but man, it was not pretty. but we got a lot of championships to fight for. I'm really excited for this week. It's a combination of all the work, not just the last 109 days, but of probably the 200 or so days preceding that, that goes into the content that we produce and the research and the projections and everything else. So it's an exciting time of year. I'm glad I guess at this point in the year, I'm really glad that the fantasy season ends because you can just sort of break and you get the rewards of your labor. And then about 2 weeks later, I absolutely miss it.
So, I hear you. You know, last week we were talking about James Cook, the Explorer.
Yeah.
Well, I looked something up last week and completely forgot to mention it, but I think it still rings true. Do you know his boat was first boat that he went on in his big first exploration was called HMS Endeavour? So, you know, he's out there doing James Cook things and we're endeavouring to bring you some ships back to your harbour. I just think it's...
That's the T-shirt of the week right there.
It's every week. Every week. It's a wardrobe. It's a 17-week wardrobe. We've got you locked in, Rush Nation. Next year, you can wear one a week for the whole fantasy season and it will never, ever be the same.
For realsies. Love it.
Yeah. Have you had anyone play that's gone off in your championship week games, Murph?
So Breece Hall. Jetsty. I had a bit of Jetsty that I stashed away in some key matchups that delivered a bit for me last night, which is quite lovely. I had Jerome Ford in a matchup. I benched Jerome Ford in my Jersey League against Lucky Guy Fantasy. Shout out to Martin. Fierce rivalry. It is a 50-50 game that I'm projected to win right now by 0.4 points. I'm not convinced that's good. Yeah. So I have Breece Hall. He had the Browns D. I left Jerome Ford on the bench and he's 26.1 points. So yeah, we'll see what happens. He dropped Joe Flacco. It's going to go backwards and forwards. So yeah, it's early days. I think if you started someone last night, you're off to a good start, but I wouldn't say I had David Njoku in a league as well, who produced quite nicely. So yeah, I'm in a lot of close games this week. It's championship week. You don't take anything for granted. And it always reminds me of you get to this point in the season and the most common questions I get this point of the season are like benching studs, right? It's someone hasn't done well for a few weeks and it's like, okay, I'm going to sit Stephon Diggs. I'm going to sit, players who just, you know, players that shouldn't be sitting, really. Players that you draft in the top three rounds of drafts. Someone asked me, should I sit Garrett Wilson? And yeah, it's logic behind it. Like, I get the logic. It's your team at the end of the day. But I think if you spend a high draft pick, you've drafted that player to come big for you in big games. I just don't think I could ever sit a top player and live to see the day that they go off on my bench. I can always live with starting Stephon Diggs and he costs me a championship, then sitting him and sitting him costs me a championship. That I couldn't live with. I just think I'd be so annoyed because you've drafted Stephon Diggs in the second round to be this guy. And I get it. And I've got a stat about Stephon Diggs while we're here, that actually, you know, Stephon Diggs in December doesn't do very well. So Stephon Diggs, right? He hasn't logged 100 yards receiving since, you know, his sixth game of the season. So he logged 100 yards receiving, five of his first six games, hasn't hit that mark since. Wow. Historically, December is actually by far his worst producing month. So his career average from September to November, his career average is just under 20 fantasy points per game. When you zero into just December, it's actually down to just 11.5 points per game. But having said that, he actually massively performs against the Patriots. So when he's played two games in December against the Patriots, he has scored more than 21 points in both of those. And there is only games in December where he's scored 15 plus fantasy points. So in December, Stephon Diggs is normally pretty crap. Against the Patriots, he's pretty good, and he's playing the Patriots. So I've kind of thrown all the trends out there for everyone to kind of... But the bottom line is, in December, against the Patriots, he's really good. So
okay,
if you needed something to say, play Stephon Diggs, play Stephon Diggs, right? Just, you drafted him. Like, I get it. It's easy to say Stephon Diggs, tough matchup. Stephon Diggs has been bad the last nine games. I get all of that. Unless you're stacked, and I have a guy, right? I have a guy, and don't get me wrong, fair play to him. His roster is absolutely loaded. He does have four top 14 wide receivers. And at this point, actually sitting Stephon Diggs kind of makes sense. So this is my guy, Dave Mogren. And I actually do some audio or fantasy content for his league every year. I review their draft, right? His four wide receivers, in which he's got to pick three from, because he only plays with one flex, is Diggs, Nakua, Metcalf, and... where's the other one? Nico Collins.
Hmm.
And that's tricky.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, like, in that situation, I probably would sit Nico, but
that's even tough. With CJ back.
Look, Nakua's a lock, right? Let's just get that one out of the way. And Nakua's a lock, right? So you got to pick Nakua on form, on points. He got 33 points last week. You're playing Nakua. That's pretty set.
Yep.
I couldn't live with sitting Stephon Diggs, as I've said, and he has massively performed against the Patriots in the past. It's a must-win game for the Bills. I'm starting Diggs. So then we've got DK versus Nico. Nico is questionable, carrying a bit of an injury, has been carrying a bit of injury. He could, listen, that's a hard decision. I would personally probably go DK, but I get the case either way. For me, they're close. Like, I don't... If you have a strong preference over the other, I couldn't sit here and make like a logical case. I think they are close. For me, I have DK inside my top 15 this week. I don't have Nico inside my top 15 this week. I just think the matchup with DK Metcalf this week is too good to pass up for me. So I play DK, I play Diggs, I play Nakua. But I can also understand the logic thereof, or maybe I'd go Nico. But it's your fantasy team. Like, at the end of the day, you live and die by your results. I'm just going through my process and what I would do. And that's why people tune into the show, right? So, yeah. But if you've got a loaded roster and you want to bench Diggs, then I'm like, okay. If you're benching Diggs for, like, a top 15 player, I get it. I'm there. Like, okay. I wouldn't do it, but I get it. But... like, there's people talking about benching Diggs for, like, DeMarcus Robinson. You're just like, dude, like, you just need to wake up.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting too cute, right? It's just that is the sort of thing that you'll lose on. So I couldn't do it. I just think for me, if I have Stefon Diggs, I'm playing Stefon Diggs.
Yeah.
Almost everywhere. You've gone this far. If you were willing to not trade him by your league's trade deadline when he wasn't performing, then that should tell you everything you need to know, that you believe at some point he's going to come good.
Yeah.
You just got to hold that hope and belief. And like I said, he's got great form against the Patriots. So
the amount of posts and memes I've seen about fantasy final weekend where you don't know who to pick and your lineup is so confusing. It's baffling to me. Like you just said, you've got to this point. Why is it now confusing? You're just overthinking it at this point.
Exactly that. You're overthinking a lot. It's the first week that something is legitimately on the line. Unless you were playing it.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Win and get in scenario in week 14. You're right, but this is the week that if you win, you win it all.
Oh, absolutely. This is the week,
is my point, is yes, week 14, win and get in, week 15, week 16, you are playing for something significant, but you're so close now that you can taste it and you can feel it, and you're already, if it's playing for money, you're already sitting there thinking about how you're going to spend your money. If you're playing for prestige, you have already got pictures in your head and you're dreaming of the trophy. Especially if it's your home league and you've never won it before. Like, 100% you're dreaming of that trophy. Like, I'm dreaming of the prizes I can win in the 5-yard champions of champions. I've never won that before, and putting that plate up in the office. I'm in the UFC where the winner gets a belt. I've got dreams of hoisting that belt over my head. It's hard, and you will overthink decisions, and that's fine. I think it's okay to take the time to think, but I just think you can get too cute. You can really sit there and zero in on a decision and it really come back to bite you. And I think I can always sleep knowing that I started my studs and they didn't perform, whereas benching my studs and they did perform. Like, in the league where I benched Jerome Ford, so people go like, you benched Jerome Ford, like, what's going on? Let me tell you who I played over him. Derrick Henry, Rashad White, and Breece Hall.
Which is legitimately fair.
Exactly that. Like, I saw Hall, I saw Ford against the Jets as a floor play. Decent floor play. But I'm chasing upside in a matchup that is extremely close. And I thought, I'm going to take the guys who will deliver me upside. Now, admittedly, I did have in the flex spot Josh Palmer, who has now been ruled out. So there is a case that I could have started Ford over Josh Palmer. But I thought Palmer would go. He's not going to go. I do suffer a bit now. If I'd known that information yesterday, Ford would have gone in my lineup. But he hasn't, and that is the way it is. So
yeah,
but with the information I had at the time, I can exactly see that decision. Like, I'm fine. Win or lose, the information I had at the time, I wasn't benching Rashad White, who's been a top three running back over the last 6 weeks, Derrick Henry, who had an absolute stunner last week, and Breece Hall, who has actually gone off this week. So I'm comfortable with my decision. And that's the process. And like, I'm okay starting my studs. I'm okay making those decisions. What I'm not okay with is benching Derrick Henry for Jerome Ford and a Derrick Henry scoring 30 points.
Mm. And I think that that's the, for me, it's the fact we know Derrick Henry, we know Stephon Diggs, we know these guys have that play in them. And yes, Jerome Ford's done it, but the likelihood of him doing it is a lot less than Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I think that's it. And you know, there's a few really interesting scenarios coming out where there's players who have not performed. Travis Etienne's not performed in recent weeks. Stephon Diggs, we talked about, has not performed in recent weeks. There's a few players that have not performed in recent weeks, and the temptation is to drop them. And that's okay if you have a logical alternative that makes sense. But dropping them for a waiver wire flyer, dropping them for someone who hasn't been there, hasn't done that, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. That's the issue I have. So like, I'm trying to think of really good examples here. You know, I'm almost struggling to think of them, but
it seems to me that at the beginning of the season, we talked about the whole groupthink and the problems that can create with your draft. And I feel as if the ability to create memes and posts of instant impact nowadays is so easy that almost the overthinking groupthink into the final week of fantasy is creeping into people's minds, whereas it should be easy to set your lineup. And yes, you, like you said, you can have some thought towards it, but there's so many people jumping into these conversations about panicking about their final week's lineup now, whereas last week it was super easy, just set and forget semi-final. That process is exactly the same. Mm. As long as you have a clear thought process going into setting your lineups, the process should be the same. It shouldn't now be difficult because it is the final week. And I think so many people are getting on these comments. Oh, I know what you mean. My lineup's difficult. And all his lineups, there's some my lineup's difficult. And you just think, like, slow up, guys. Like, don't think like everybody else.
That you've just hit the nail on the head. Don't think like... I don't want to say I came under some criticism, but some people seem to question why I think groupthink is bad. I don't think groupthink as a principle is bad. I think it's good to get a collective form of ideas to form an opinion. That to me is a rational definition of groupthink, where you would get a group of people, not like-minded, just a group of people, to gather as much information as possible and you make a decision. That, to me, is what groupthink should be. What there is on Twitter is consensus groupthink, where everyone says and thinks the same thing or strives to say and think the same thing. It is exactly what you're describing, that it's so easy to rail on a player, to rail on a performance, to rail on a take to be takey. And then everyone jumps on that boat. And it's so dangerous because if you don't have a conclusive thought process or method behind what you do, this is when you make mistakes. Now, I can always live with mistakes based on my own process. You learn from that process. I make mistakes. I'm human. I was in a group chat earlier and I said, we talked about the fantasy receipts account, right? Which is toxic and not very nice. And I said, well, look, I like the idea of it in terms of an account that's there for people to submit their horrific takes and laugh about them. I like that as a concept. I think that's funny. I think it's something we should all strive to do, right? Is if you put a take out there and it's wrong, own it. Like, it's fine. You don't, and be self-deprecating about it. You say, oh my God, what an awful take that was. It's fine to be wrong. You're going to be wrong. Nobody's right 100% of the time. And have fun with it. It's a game, right? What we talk about. The whole point of this is it's fun. And someone on the back of this group chat actually then created the account. So if you've been on my X account, Elon Musk's Funground account, Murph underscore NFL, you'll see me retweet. I sent a couple in. I said that Saquon Barkley was going to be a huge rushing touchdown positive regression candidate this year, and he's absolutely flopped. You know, he's got 4 rushing touchdowns this season. He was massively underachieved last year. He's massively underachieved this year. I own the L on that. It's a bad take, and I had logic and thought, and I'll look at it again. And you could sit there and justify it and say, well, you know, they lost Daniel Jones and they lost players and there's injuries and the offensive line got a bit banged up. And you're like, yeah, but ultimately I got it wrong. I said that Mike Evans's touchdown rate would hit the absolute floor this year. Of course, I got that wrong. And like, I laugh at it because I thought Baker Mayfield would be crap and he wasn't. Like, it's fine to be wrong. It's fine to own that and be wrong. I laugh at it. I think it's funny, right? And I share these in self-deprecation because I'm fine with it. I'm comfortable with my process. And when I get into the off-season, I'll look at these again and I'll go, yeah, do you know what? I got these wrong. And here's why. And I'll understand why. And I'll dig into it and I'll learn from it. But ultimately, you've got to have a bit of fun with it. And my issue is that people are scared to be wrong. And people are putting takes out for attention. There's the two things out there that are really bad. If you're putting a take out there and you're doing it purely for clickbait because you're just trying to be a thing, that's a really bad process. Like, there was someone who unfortunately wrote for 5 Yard College who did this. He historically put out takes to be takey, for attention, for clickbait. And he didn't work for us for very long because he got found out very quickly that this was... His content had no substance. It had no rationale. It was, you know, players going to the moon and that was it. And it was like, there was no logic behind it. There was no thought. There was no reason, right? And there are takes out there that I completely disagree with, but I understand the thought process and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with people putting a take out there that's different to mine. And as long as there's logic and thought process and a reason behind it, you can accept that, right? If someone had said to me that, oh, Mike Evans is going to score 12 touchdowns because I actually think Baker Mayfield is an above average quarterback, I'd have gone, here's why I think he's going to be. I'd sit there and go, cool, I wouldn't have believed you, but they would have been right and I'd have been wrong. And that's fine. Like, that's the whole point. It's a long tangent. But ultimately, I think you've just got to own, the mistakes. And I think ultimately you've got to find the people you trust. If you listen to this show, you trust the content that we put out to a certain degree. And I think we've hit a lot of hits this year. And I think that represents well for the number of finals I made. I'm not sitting here saying that I'm a phenomenal analyst and I'm better than everybody else. I don't think that at all. I think I've generally had a pretty good year. The takes and the process I put out there was, for the most part, pretty good. People like Debo Samuel, people like Brian Robinson. We faded players like Bijan Robinson. We faded players like Garrett Wilson. You know, ultimately, we made a lot of decisions that, for the most part, panned out pretty well. Yes, we missed on a few players. Yes, we overhyped some players. Didn't pan out. Chris Godwin kind of looks like he's going to come slightly under expectation, but he's not been horrific. But that is what it is. You're always going to hit players. You're going to miss players. The bottom line is, you're going into this week, you have a stacked roster. You wouldn't be in the final two if you didn't have a stacked roster, unless you had Amari Cooper and he carried you there, which, fair play. You're going to get found out this week because you didn't play. But ultimately, I think you have a stacked roster. You're going to have decisions to make, but they're the same decisions you've been making for the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just is what your point is so valid here. It means so much more because of the end goal, but actually your process shouldn't change. It should still be viewed as the same. It's still the same as last week. Yes, you can taste it more. Yes, I'm almost contradicting myself a little bit here, but ultimately your process should be the same. You should still be following the same guidance. You trick yourself a bit more because of what is in front of you, what the prize is. You're so close to it that you do tend to gamble. Now, there are some caveats to this. If you're up against a juggernaut of a team, i.e. a team that is the one seed, they've probably lost one game all season, maybe two games all season, they're the heavy favorite in your matchup, I'm all for taking risk. I'm all for taking risk. And if you think, do you know what? Stephon Diggs is underperforming. I don't like it. I think he's more of a floor player. I don't like the matchup. I don't like his progression over the last 9 games. And I'm going to take a shot on someone like Radil Shaheed instead, or Rashid Shaheed. I'm for that. Like, if you are projected to lose by a significant amount and you just want to throw some chaos players in there, I'm for it. It's your team ultimately. You don't need my validation for that, but I get it. At least there you can explain a thought process. You can say Dix hasn't been good. He hasn't scored above 15 fantasy points for X amount of games. I don't feel comfortable starting him. I'd rather put in a player who could score zero, but could score 25 points. And I'm going to throw some chaos into there. And I'm like, okay, fine. There's a logical rationale to that. And there's a decision-making process you have gone through. And you ultimately came to that decision. But benching Stephon Diggs because he's just not had a good few games, and you're going to start someone like DeMarcus Robinson over him, that is a thought process I don't understand. Because you're just chasing points. You're chasing production of the last couple of games in isolation. And what you're not taking in is talent, history, pedigree, offenses of those teams, everything else taken into account. And I think that's dangerous. So, you know, my best advice I can give is you start your studs. You put your best players out there. The players that either got you here or the players that are most fit. And again, if you've got a player that you feel is not 100% and therefore you feel like I need to bench them, I'm for that. You know, Devon Achane is a player I'm not playing anywhere this week. He is on every single one of my benches. I will not trust him in a single lineup. He has got a toe injury that he's not recovering from. The Dolphins only really giving the ball in blowout victories, which they're not going to get against the Ravens. I've got another stat on Tua in a minute. Ultimately, they're in tough games. You've got a banged up player in Achane who looks banged up. He looks hurt. He doesn't go anywhere near a lineup for me this week. He's going to sit on my bench. And if he goes off, fine. But I don't see it. I don't see where he finishes in the top 20 this week.
And I think that's where, as you quite rightly said, if the juggernaut team versus the perhaps lower seeded team, that's where you will be able to see that at that point. In this point, there's a lot of points there. You'll be able to see that in the teams come this weekend, because there will be teams who have to start Achane this weekend because of he's one of the players who has scraped them into the playoffs and perhaps through the playoffs to the final week. And those teams will have to start him. And that, again, there'll be teams who, this comes back to your waiver wire ad, unless you can get somebody who is massively going to outperform Achane this week, you might have to start him. And if you were able to grab someone like that off the waivers. But then if you couldn't, don't then potentially start, because like you said, Murph, Achane shouldn't be in a team, but if he has to be in your team, he does have that upside play, creating a chaos play, like you mentioned, if you are one of those teams who has to start him because you're massively outgunned.
Yes, but I'd like to think that because he's missed so much time, you probably have an alternative to Achane.
This is true.
It's not like he's had a dip in form. He's had a dip in form. He's had a dip in form because he's been hurt, and he's hurt. He's still hurt. And the Dolphins' schedule has got tougher. And if you look historically at the games where he has smashed points, they've been in blowouts. They've been in teams that they've been in wins that have been huge wins for the Dolphins. They are very good at beating very average to poor teams in the NFL. They're almost flat track bullies. Don't forget, against the Cowboys, where they did win, it's the first time they beat a team with a winning record in nearly 2 years. They're flat track bullies, the Dolphins. I'm not discrediting them. I'm not sitting here saying they're a bad team. I'm not sitting here saying they're badly coached. But in the way that they use Devon Achane, they use him to basically rest Mostert, and he goes nuts on tired defenses. He plays a lot of snaps in second halves of games. He takes heavily worn down defenses or second string defenses because the game is gone, and he completely destroys them. And that's not knocking Achane. He's a great talent. It's going to be very interesting to see what he does next year. But the guy's currently hurt. He has a toe injury, which for a running back is not good. It's not good. He needs his toes. So ultimately, he's got a toe injury in a game where they are not favored to win. They're against the one seed in the NFC, who completely destroyed the 49ers, by the way, in what was supposed to be this titanical clash of two elite teams. That was men versus boys. You want to talk about an absolute demolition? I've never seen anything like it. Like, those two teams were so far apart. It was scary. And all the hate that Lamar Jackson has gotten this year and all the disrespect that he's gotten. I hope people just went, do you know what? I got it wrong. Because he looked elite. He looked elite. Well, elite. The whole team looked elite. They looked like a brilliant, brilliantly well-run team.
How many front offices are absolutely kicking themselves right now with the ability to go and talk to Lamar Jackson in the offseason and then just saying, "Now I'm good." Like, it's crazy.
Funny enough, right? So I was going through and I was looking at some bad takes I made this year. And you know what take I did make this year was that the Ravens would win the Super Bowl. All right, I put them against the Vikings in the NFC, which, all right, probably not going to happen. And I had Lamar Jackson as the MVP.
Well, that's a bad take.
I mean, like, I got a lot of things wrong this year, but I feel like that's going to happen. I feel like that they are the best team in football right now. It's going to take something to stop them, but I do think he ends up as the MVP. It's going to take, if they beat the Dolphins, they pretty much lock the one seed, I believe. I could be wrong. I need to double check the permutations, but I'm pretty sure they're or thereabouts on the one seed. And then I think that gives him the MVP. Because if San Francisco end up as the one seed in the NFC, you just have to look at that game and then that will decide it. Like, that will decide it. But we'll see what happens. I do want to give people some actionable insight. I talked about Tua. I want to get onto this because I talked about Tua against good teams. I want to talk about Tua in the cold, right? So, you know, we talked last week about Jared Goff in the cold.
Yep.
And I said, like, he's just bad. When it's cold, he's really bad. And then, look, he had a good game last week because it wasn't in the cold, right? Tua is also very, very bad in the cold. So I borrowed this research from Joel Smith, right? He's a fantasy researcher, great guy, great follow. And he did some research on Tua in under 50-degree weather. And in the games that he's played in under 50 degree weather, he averages just 10.5 fantasy points per game. And he has just 6 touchdowns and 11 giveaways. So that's fumbles and INTs. And he's up against the Ravens this week in Baltimore. So it should be scheduled to be under 50 degrees. The Baltimore Ravens have also only allowed 2 top 12 quarterbacks through 15 games and 0 passes have broken 24 fantasy points this season. And they're the best defense against quarterbacks. And Tua is having to do that in the cold, where he's never performed well, and on the road. Yeah, I'm sitting Tua this week. I said this weeks ago, I'm sitting Tua for the playoffs. This is why I sat him last week. I was okay with that decision. Yeah, okay, did okay. Didn't do great, but he didn't do horrific. I'm sitting him again this week.
Wow.
Oh, okay. By the way, breaking news. Cortland Sutton has been ruled out of Sunday's game due to being in the concussion protocol. And also, Trevor Lawrence has been ruled out against the Panthers.
Yeah, that's good luck, Jared Stidham.
Can Jerry Jeudy finally do so? Oh, we haven't even talked about Russell Wilson yet. You're a Broncos fan. Like, I told you the news and I told you my thought process on it. Russell Wilson is likely going to be cut. I don't know how they're going to do it financially, and I'll talk about why. What do you think, as a Broncos fan, what do you think? Do you think this is... it's got to be a shock, but what is your thought now you've had time to think about it?
So before I give you my take on the blue and orange, I'd just like to let you know it's going to be 48.2 degrees in Maryland on Sunday, which is under the 50 degrees mark. So Broncos fan, I'd never liked the trade when we did it, and that I was vocal about that. I wasn't a fan of giving up what we gave up for the aging Russell Wilson when... It's all hindsight and hearsay, but if you could have told me the following season we could have given up 2 firsts to get Lamar Jackson, then, yeah. 2 winning seasons for a player who costs so much with a huge salary where we haven't made the playoffs, I think that's the... And the cost of going forward, and if he gets injury, I just think financially, Murph, this for a player that we no longer want, which is blatantly obvious because you wouldn't sit a player you were willing to continue to play, right? Unless you think he's going to get injured because of the injury clause and the money related. Is this financially the best point for us to give up on him by sitting him now?
Look, you're sitting him because if he gets hurt, his contract is fully guaranteed. So ultimately, you sit him. The thought process originally was, well, you're giving yourself time to make a decision, which makes sense, right? You're not playing for anything this year. Your 1% chance of making the playoffs. I don't think you've officially been eliminated, but it looks very unlikely you're going to make the playoffs. So you're like, okay, you're buying yourself some time to make a decision and you're taking the guaranteed contract off the table for now. News has then since come out that you're going to cut him. Now, that shocks me in a lot of ways. One, I don't understand why you would leak that so soon and now when you've got so much time to reflect and make a decision. And then you have the financial implications. So he's under contract next season for $36 million. The guarantee part is for future money, as far as I understand. If you cut him, you are going to take an $85 million hit, which you're already on the hook for some of that money anyway. Where it leads out to where you currently are in terms of over the cap, because the Broncos are projected to be $18 million over the cap based on the projected cap number. We don't know what the cap number is for 2024. So that's why it's all projected, because we don't actually know. It's just an estimation. So you're projected to be, with that $85 million cap hit, $67 million over the cap. Now, you're 43 players on your roster, top 51 count. You're going to have to spend another $7 to $9 million on draft picks, give or take. Again, that's an approximation. So you add that in, you're about $75 million over the cap. So you're at this point now where you lose the trade. The trade's done, right? It's a spent cost. But actually, to facilitate getting rid of him, you have to blow up the roster. So the list of players that I worked out that you would need to trade or to cut to get close to a break even for the cap. Now, there might be some clever ways of doing this. You could defer the cap till June 1, and you can defer some of that money in the future years and borrow the credit card. But that would be stupid. Effectively, the way I look at this now is you're in a full rebuild, and you're going to blow up 2024. So this is not only a trade that's not worked for a couple of years. It's cost you next year at a very minimum. Probably costs you the year after as well. So I worked out that these are the players that ideally, not ideally, but the players you're looking at that have value that you will need to cut or trade. Cortland Sutton, because he'll save you close to $10 million. Justin Simmons, who's arguably your best defensive player, because he'll save you $14.5 million. Garrett Bowles, $16 million. DJ Jones, $10 million. Tim Patrick saving $10 million. That I can see, like, he's injured. He never plays. Like, I can see you cutting him and saving $10 million. That kind of makes sense. And Jared Stidham, you can save $5 million cutting him. That kind of makes sense too. So if you cut or trade those players, that gets you a little over $65 million. And then you're about 10, you can restructure some contracts. But effectively, that's your whole team. That's all your best players gone to facilitate this. So, like, you're either going to have to restructure contracts and put loads of money in the future years to make this work, which you're then going to be in this New Orleans state where you're maxing out the credit card and you're leveraging against future years, which is fine when you're trying to win a championship. Like, I get that. The Bucks did that, right? The Bucks won a championship, went all in to try and win another championship, came very close, didn't do it. And they paid for it this year with 50-odd million in dead cap, which is why they had signed Baker Mayfield for 4 million. It's why they have 7 undrafted rookies on their roster. But what they've done is they paid the credit card in one go, and they might still make, in fact, they're likely to make the playoffs. So ultimately, it's kind of worked. The risk versus the reward was there. They didn't win that second ring. They came very close to one Cooper Cup play away from progressing, and then I think they probably win out to get there. But ultimately, they went for it. They didn't work. And actually, they've reset. They paid it all off this year. Well, most of it. There's a little bit of dead cap next year, but it's manageable. The Broncos should do a similar approach, but it does mean blowing up the team. And then it's like, well, what do you do? And it's like, well, this is why it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I would keep Russ. Like, he's under contract. I get that. But you're paying him anyway. Mm. Like, are the Broncos, since you're blowing up 2024 anyway, and you're already paying the guy, what difference is it if you just keep him and play him on the roster next year? I get it. He's not the future. Fine. But you're paying him to not be there. So you might as well pay him to be there and then start roster building, and then don't take the credit card hit. And then you get rid of him the following year where the cap hit is significantly less. And then you've got time to plan all of this. As opposed to now, this all feels a bit rushed. And then there's this talk that they tried to get him to waive his contract, or they were going to get rid of him. And it sounds like it's a complete breakdown that's far beyond what's gone on the pitch. And then on top of that, you've got Sean Payton, who went into retirement because his team in New Orleans lost Breeze. They couldn't draft a competitive quarterback. They were in significant cap hell to where they couldn't rebuild. And he's like, I just don't want to be part of this. And he retired. Didn't even go to another job. He retired. And he's now inherited almost the exact same situation after coming out of retirement. Do you think Sean Payton is going to stick around for a rebuild? I certainly don't. I don't think he's got the appetite for it. He might stick around next year. He might not. He might retire. Like, I wouldn't blame him. Like, I think he's been missold a dream here. It's just a mess. It's an absolute mess. And it's living proof that trading away multiple first-round picks for players in this era does not work. It doesn't work. It didn't work when, you know, look at recent examples. Jamal Adams, that's not worked. Yes, okay, there's injuries and all other things, but ultimately, it's not worked. You know, Trey Lance, that's not worked. It's not worked here for Russell Wilson. There's many examples we could go through history of multiple first round pick players where it's not. I'm sure there's one or two. I'm sure there's instances where I can think of one, and that's when the Buccaneers traded multiple first round picks for John Gruden, and then the first year wins the Super Bowl. That worked. All right, fair enough. But there aren't many instances where trading multiple first round picks works. And ultimately, it's just a mess.
I said
get cut. I don't understand how they can cut him.
No.
I still don't understand.
I don't really follow the cap financial side too much. So your breakdown was perfect for what I needed to know. I think this just smacks to me of a 3-year rebuild where Arch Manning ends up being a Denver Bronco because of Peyton's history with the orange and blue. And it's a whole big thing where we get an Eli Manning situation where he moves to the team he wants to go to, and Arch Manning ends up being a Denver Bronco and everything's good and golden. That's where I'm seeing this go. 3 years down the road, Bosch. Thanks very much. No, I don't know. Like you say, it's just a huge mess. And Sean Payton was sold a dream, and the dream was never there really. And we overpaid for Russ, and then we tried to cure it by getting Sean Payton, who was tried and tested, and it's not worked, and it's not fun.
No, it's not fun, and it's a disappointing outcome. And then you sit there and you think about, where does Russell Wilson go from here? Because it's a really interesting crossroads, because there's one school of thought of, well, Russell Wilson is better than about 10 quarterbacks playing in this league right now, and he betters a significant amount of teams. And you sit there and go, yeah, on the face of it, probably does. But the flip side of this is you got to pay the guy. And you pay him, you don't pay other people on your roster. He's not worth the money that he is going to command.
No.
And so ultimately, I look at the situations, and for me, the only team, maybe two, I can come up with two teams in the NFL where Russell Wilson makes sense. Pittsburgh and Atlanta. And I can't think of another team where he makes any logical sense. Pittsburgh, because I genuinely believe he is better than what they've got on the roster at quarterback. They have a pretty good defense. They need to improve the offensive line, but the rest of that team is pretty good. He would improve Pittsburgh, who are already on the cusp of being a playoff team, considering their quarterback play is pretty incredible. I think he genuinely does turn them into a near contender. I don't want to say a contender, but a near contender. I think he significantly improves them. And I think you've got a Eli Manning situation where is that D good enough and healthy enough to challenge them and get them there? Could be tough, but it could happen. And Atlanta, because effectively they're in a division right now where everyone is pretty poor. And again, they don't have a quarterback. So you would say that Wilson would come in and steer them to a division title in a weakened NFC conference. How far does he get? I don't know. They're the only teams to me that makes sense. Anyone else, I don't see it, because they're either in a rebuild, and why would you pay a quarterback in a rebuild and not be able to complete the rebuild because you don't have the money? Because that's what it would take. Or,
well, that's exactly what Denver are going to be doing.
Yeah, but exactly that. But then, this is where, were Denver a quarterback away from challenging? No. Ultimately, they're in a division that is the worst in football in terms of the quality. And then, when I say the worst, like the toughest, is what I mean. Like,
yeah.
You're up against, and I get it, they made a big move to take on Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, right? And then you know, the Chargers haven't been what they were supposed to be, but on paper, they look loaded. But teams in that division have gone all out to try and perform, and it's not worked. The Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos have all gone out and made big moves, and they've all failed. And ultimately, you have to look at, is making a big move like that actually detrimental more often than not? And it is, because the quarterback should be the last piece of the puzzle. That should be the last piece on the puzzle to solve, and then you get better. You build the offensive line, you build the defensive line, you start to bring in the weapons, and then you bring in the quarterback. And you either bring him in through the draft, and you get that rookie contract for 4 or 5 years, which is the greatest advantage you have in sports. And let's not forget that the Legion of Doom or Legion of Boom, that's Seattle.
It's Animal and Hawk.
the Seattle defense was as loaded as it was because Russ was earning a pittance because he was on a rookie contract. You know, having that rookie contract is a significant advantage for any sports team. The 49ers are absolutely loaded because they pay Brock Purdy $780,000 a year.
Yes, sir.
Like, ultimately, they are loaded because of that. They're not having to pay a quarterback significant money. It is a strategic, significant advantage that if you can get a quarterback and your roster is nearly complete, that you can go over the top on it.
Same as the Eagles, Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, again, rookie contract and making the most of it. And again, these are the advantages that you have by having a rookie quarterback. If you can't do that, then it's okay to pay a significantly good quarterback to get you over the line. This is a harder model to work out. Obviously, the Buccaneers got very lucky with getting Tom Brady, and that plan worked highly significantly for them. You'd argue that Matt Stafford with the Detroit Lions through trade, that worked out significantly for the Rams as well. And then you've got the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, who they paid him a significant amount of money because he's one of the best to ever do it. All of that makes sense. But yeah, it's a difficult one. I just don't understand the cutting him part. That's the part I don't get. I would keep him. I would play him. I would keep him. And I get it. He's not great. I get it. But ultimately, you're paying for him anyway. And I don't understand why you would give up 4 or 5 of your best players to pay for not having him. Like, that to me is ludicrous. That's the part of the equation that nobody's talking about that I don't understand. That if the choice was I keep Russ and play for a year with Russ, but I get to keep Simmons and Sutton and Bollers and Clark, I'm doing that. But this is the ultimate subtraction through ultimate subtraction. Like those guys probably have to go to pay for not having, like, that's the part that makes no sense. Is those guys probably have to go to pay for not having Russell Wilson. Unless they find a more creative way that I can't find. And they're smarter guys than me. I'm not doubting that. There probably is a more creative way. I just don't see it right now.
And even if there is, it probably isn't enough of a financial benefit to not play him. Because when you look at the metrics and statistics and stuff, Denver actually haven't been that bad in some of the offensive metrics this year in regards to touchdowns and everything like that. They just, like you said, they went into a division in which is the worst to try and compete. And ironically, the teams in that division who are stacked to try and compete can't even compete with a team that is playing historically poor over the last 5 years for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's be real for a minute, right? Take the money that he earns off the table. And I guess it's hard. Take the money he earns off the table. Is Russell Wilson a bottom five quarterback in this league?
No.
Right. Is he a bottom 10 quarterback in this league?
No. I don't think he is. I think he's top. I think he's a top half quarterback in the league. It's just hard for me to value him at true fair value because of what we thought as Denver fans was going to happen at the start of the season.
I think he's bang average. I think he is bang average. I think he's somewhere between 15 and 18. I think he's average. Now, I get it. He earned mega money for a bang average quarterback. I get it's a bad deal. Are Denver going to get anybody any better next season?
Mm-mm. No.
Can't afford to.
Not for free.
No. And you're not drafting one because you're not picking high enough. He's won just enough games to really screw the organization. Mm. So this is what I mean is, you're going to pay him to not play for you and you're going to get worse at four, maybe five positions to like this. This is where you're biting your hat. You're biting your nose off to spite your face, Denver. That is ultimately what is going on is I get it. You don't like the guy. You don't want him there. I get all of that, but you really are blowing up the 24, maybe the 25 season. And you're blowing up and getting rid of some of your best players. Is he really that bad? Like really on the heart of it, is he really that cancerous to the organization? If he is, fine. But you're paying the biggest price of all.
Yeah.
Like, this is just what I don't get. It's just, anyway, we've talked enough about it. We talked about 15 minutes about Russ Wilson. It doesn't help you win championships this week. I do want to give some actionable insight. I'll do this now. Right, I want to talk about wide receiver and quarterback matchups this week. And just as I do that, I get the wheel of death. I might have to... There we go. It's taking a sweet time. I might have to load this on my phone. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're there.
Okay. I just sort of got the wheel of death. I'm going to do this on my phone. I want to just talk about some matchups that I have highlighted because I think these are really key. Last week I put some matchups together and the ones I said that were the most challenging were really ones that were really, all of them significantly underperformed their expectations. The really challenging matchups this week, and this is an important one to know for championship week, Rashi Rice, he's up against Mike Hilton. That is a really, really, really tough matchup. I think the ECR has him inside the top 12 at the moment this week, which I don't understand. I'm starting Rashi Rice, but I think his ceiling is highly compromised this week. Odell Beckham Jr., if he was anywhere near your starting lineups, he needs to go. He's got Jalen Ramsey. But T. Higgins is a really interesting one. He has the Jarius Sneed this week. So there's no chase, so the volume is going to be there. And in a PPR format, he will be a sort of mid-level wide receiver too. But in a half point or a standard, his ceiling is highly compromised this week, because Sneed has been a great, great corner this week. So just be a little bit careful of that matchup this week.
Nice.
Advantages, like matchups, I think are going to go through the roof. Calvin Ridley against Dante Jackson, although I did say this was predicated on the health of Trevor Lawrence with CJ Beathard. You might want to be a little bit careful this week with that, but I still think it's a great matchup. I still think if CJ Beathard puts the ball in the air, we saw it. Look, CJ Beathard found him for a touchdown last week when he came in. He was clearly Befford's favorite target. So I'm down on it a little bit more, but ultimately I'm still there. I'm still starting Ridley, even with Befford playing. But I think it's wheels up Travis Etienne this week. I think he's going to get heavily used, especially in a matchup against the Panthers. In matchups where we had a Jags fan on a couple of weeks ago, and he was mentioning that basically whenever the Travis Etienne runs the ball and whenever he gets 20 plus carries, the Jags win. Or his 18 carries, I think he said. And ultimately, in games where he does get that, he does get over 20 fantasy points, they do tend to win. So this is a must-win game for them. They're playing the worst team in football. I expect Travis Etienne to get a heavy workload this week. You can fire him up in your matchups and don't be too worried. I think Cooper Kupp is onto a very, very big week. He's up against Cordell Flott this week, who is arguably one of the worst corners in the NFL statistically this season. He's giving up 0.40 fantasy points per route run, which is the joint fifth most allowed by all quarterbacks. And the Giants are also allowing the joint fifth most points per game to wide receivers. So, yeah, I like that. And Noah Brown, if you're looking for a flex play, Noah Brown with CJ Stroud-Brack. He's up against Tennessee and Trey Avery there. That's a really good matchup for Brown. So I really like Noah Brown as a under-the-radar flex play this week.
Derek Carr or Gardner Minshew?
Derek Carr.
Yeah, that's where I went.
Yeah, Derek Carr against the Buccaneers defense. It hasn't been particularly good in the air. They're in a win-to-stay-alive scenario. Colts pretty much eliminated. I can't remember if they've officially been eliminated or if they're all but statistically eliminated. There's one team that have statistically still alive but shouldn't be, and the rest are... I think they're still alive, but I don't think they've got much hope. I definitely going with Kai. Had a good week last week. 35 fantasy points, 30-35 fantasy points. He had a good week last week. I'm going with him. I think... wasn't too good against the Buccaneers early on in the season. I think he'd be better this week. Has a full complement of weapons. Expected to be better this week.
Marvellous stuff. Anything else for the Championship weekend speciale, Murph?
Let's see. A lot of question around Bijan Robinson, but with Taylor Heineke, he got 10 targets last week. I expect a similar workload for Bijan this week. You can fire him up, even though it's not someone that I'm particularly hugely high on and don't have a lot of. I do think this is a good matchup for him this week against the Bears.
And your point about Breece Hall being relevant if he was a receiver came to fruition last night with 9 of 9 receptions. So there you go.
So I mean, 80% of his points second half of the season have come as a receiver. Did slightly better in the run game last night. I think for me, you're looking at him and thinking that's someone who is his skill set. He's had a phenomenal season. You have to look at him and say in dynasties probably what, the RB1, RB2 in Dynasty? He's got to be up there. I can't. People are going to put Bijan there. I'm not there. Not on. Not while Arthur Smith is a coach. And listen, anyone that's a Bijan Robinson fan should be cheering Tampa this weekend. Tampa win the division. That will likely see the end of Arthur Smith. That might free Bijan Robinson. That might change my thinking. I do believe Arthur Smith gets fired if he loses the division to the Buccaneers with a $4 million quarterback and 7 undrafted rookies. And I think you should. I think anyone that loses a division to that ragtag, a bunch of players, pretty much says it all. I know they've got some great players, but 7 undrafted rookies, you've got players that are very lowly drafted, like Yaya Diaby, who's absolutely smashing it right now. Christian Itzen, who's up there, is one of the best statistical safety slash cornerbacks in football, was a walk-on. It's just ridiculous. So I think Arthur Smith will go, but I think you're looking at Breece Hall now. If he can stay healthy, really, ideally, you don't want to see him play next week. You want to see him benched or just heavy reduced and come in the next season and be a lot better. And I think he's up there as one of the top two in Dynasty running backs. But yeah, again, if you followed this podcast, I think we've given you a lot of actionable advice over recent weeks. That's why I kind of cooled the trends this week, because your rosters are your rosters. There's not much you can do. You can't make any trades. There's not much on the free agency waiver wire this week. Ultimately, I think most people know who they're going to start by now. They probably set lineups. So I think really it's just about, don't let groupthink, especially bad takes, cloud your judgment. Sit down and really work through your decision-making process and make those critical decisions. Start your studs where possible. Throw some chaos players in if you're an underdog and hope for the best. And have fun, ultimately. It's a game. Have a lot of fun. Try and win some ships. Good luck to everybody who's out there fighting. Well done on getting this far. I've got a lot of finals, so I hope that the people I'm up against lose spectacularly. I want to win.
Thankfully, Murphy, you and I are not faced off in any finals this year.
No,
which is always
we're
nice.
Not. We're not faced off in any finals. I am in the final of your home league. I'm trying to take your title from you.
Obviously, hey, look, listen, I took that title away from myself when I drafted old people.
So, yes. And then also, I don't know if regular listeners of the show will remember Joel, our commissioner extraordinaire, who came on early in the season. And shout out to Joel. Again, a phenomenal season commissioning. He is up against Adam Rank in the toilet bowl game, which is great. And I'm in the championship game. So he made a nice sort of snippy remark about how I'd never been to his bowl game. I don't know if it was on here or if it was in the draft video, but let's just say I took that. I kept the receipt, as the kids would say. I'm in the championship this week. It's a 50-50. I'm actually playing the guy who I replaced in the league, and then he's come back. It's a redraft. It's not a dynasty. So, he left. I took his spot, and then someone else left, and he came back. So, interesting times ahead to see if I can take down that one. But at least I've become the best fantasy analyst called Adam in that league for the second successive year. Which is always fun. If I'm playing you this week, I hope your lineup against me stinks to high heaven. I've got 3 fantasy care eliminators that I'm... including my own. What a terrible host. I put up a prize.
And now you're going to take it back.
Which is a champion's t-shirt. And I'm up against Johnny. So if I win it, I either have to buy a shirt for myself or not buy one. It's quite embarrassing buying a shirt for yourself.
Hey, but you got there, my friend.
Well,
you got
I haven't
there.
Won it yet. I might lose. He put up a bigger score than me last week, so we'll see. But it's a fun time of year, and thank you to everyone who has partaken, who has listened, who has sent questions, who has interacted in the pod anyway, listened to 5 minutes, shared, told friends, guested, anyway, in any way that you've been part of this podcast. We appreciate you. Also, it would be remiss of me to not mention some wonderful people who are leaving our family this year. They sound like they're dying. They're not dying. but the wonderful Rob and Pitsy are hanging up their microphones and stands. If you missed it, the final Fast Action Friday aired earlier today. And, you know, we got to know Pitsy through interactions early on in this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we both have become very close to Pitsy over the years. And then he brought Rob involved. And Rob has been running the social media accounts. Both guys are just A1 guys, right? Absolutely. Two of the best blokes in our family, in the community. Selfless, tirelessly working to create content for others to have come up with great idea. Pitsy was part of the UKFFC kickoff and did a lot of work behind the scenes that he gets absolutely zero credit for. Rob has curated and edited thousands of hours of content and articles and has selflessly put this family above his own at times. And from the bottom of my heart, I wanted to just thank them both for their incredible attitude, service, commitment, but also just friends forever. Genuinely top quality blokes who I love in my heart and always will forever. And the door's never closed. And if their situations change, they're always welcome to come back. We never closed the door on many people here. Some people leave to go on to do better things. Some people go to put their day jobs, family, etc. But just gonna miss them. But at the same point, I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank them both for incredible work over the years and for being great counsel, great friends, and great colleagues, and just great people. So I it's never great to say goodbye, but just a massive thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know you've probably got a few words you want to share as well.
100%. They've been some of the OGs from when Fiveyard turned from the kitchen table hobby of a couple of fellas to taking on staff and creating more podcasts and websites. And, you know, what people don't understand from the podcast side of things when creating podcasts is it is not just a plug and play sort of thing. There is so much more that goes into creating a podcast and a brand that we are lucky enough to be able to call Fiveyard these days. And none of that would have been able to happen the way it has without Pitsy and Rob. And like you said, Murph, a couple of guys that regardless of situation, I will always have in my phone book and they will always be my friends and I will always speak to them. And Fiveyard won't be the same. It's like when Rich left and now Pitsy and Rob are leaving. Fiveyard will not be the same without them. So it is a massive thank you from me and you said so, Murph, and we'll carry on, we'll keep striving, but there will be a Pitsy and Rob shaped hole somewhere in that star spangled banner that you see above our glorious faces, Murph. So yeah, massive thank you to you guys. We are going to miss you greatly, but as Murph said, the door is never closed, so you are welcome back at any point, fellas. But yeah, a massive thank you, and if you two are in any ships this year, we wish you glorious endeavors. And talking of endeavors, Murph, the HMS Endeavour that we are both aboard this week is looking forward to tying itself up against other ships that we've acquired this weekend in the Fiveyard Harbour. It's that time of year where we get to celebrate amongst friends and I guess revel against the enemies of the fantasy football community that we love so much, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm up against some absolutely fantastic people, some great friends, great colleagues. I've made so many great friends this year. I've continued to harvest friendships throughout the year. It's been a crap year for me for a health perspective, but it's been a wonderful year enriched by listeners of this podcast, followers on Twitter, friends for life, people who I've never met took the time to send me videos of support and hope for my birthday, people who dropped me messages of support when I was in my hospital bed for 30 odd days and didn't have the energy to even stand up, people who sent me stuff in the mail, some anonymously, some not so anonymously, just blown away with this community. You know, it reminds me of when I first started podcasting with you, Stocks, right? And, you know, I always said to you, my mission was to end random NFL.com leagues for the UK people. That the UK people would be able to find like-minded people to play in leagues. And I said that I would host as many leagues as I physically could to ensure that people had at least one league that they could play in. And that mantle has grown. We haven't let up on that mantle. Others have taken up that mantle. We now have a really strong community of players, of people. We have our own fantasy football expo, for crying out loud. You know, if you told me 7 years ago that that was going to be on the table, I would have gone, I'd have been like, no chance. And I think we're now at the point where we can say that people in the NFL don't have to play on a random NFL.com league anymore. There are enough leagues run by enough good people. Charity leagues, paid leagues, free leagues, interesting leagues, IDP leagues, whatever leagues. You know, you got Simo running 100 plus people in Brick Towers. You have Matt Cullen running the JTT. You have Greg and Foley in the Warrior Bowl. You have Jack Humphrey, who hosts several leagues and a charity league of his own in honor of good friend Steve Raines. You have the FFCC. You have all our listener leagues. You have Dynasty Rich and all the leagues that he runs. You have the guys at Fantasy Wildcard and all the leagues that they run, and Dynasty Kev, or the Dynasty Goat Kev, as he goes by, and all the Dynasty leagues he puts on. And, you know, Neil, who's got multiple leagues that he runs.
Of that, I'm in the final of my Division 3A this week. So, yeah, I could get promoted. I think if I win, I'll go up to maybe 2A as well rather than 2C. So I should be 3A, one step 3A off.
3A is the most prestigious. Until you win, then that division becomes the most prestigious.
Well, I mean, I got relegated last year, so.
Second most prestigious.
Yeah, that's it.
I love it. But yeah, Neil Elliott, all these guys running, and there's many more. And if I haven't, Pestle's run a charity league, Stephen, gaming teacher, Johnny Edwards, Orkney Bowl. There's so many others. I can't keep going. All of you that run leagues, just thank you for growing our community, servicing our community, to making sure that people don't have to play on a random NFL.com league. Like, the bottom of my heart, that was the one thing I really wanted for people, was they didn't have to play in crap leagues that were heavily abandoned. And now we have a huge array of interesting, phenomenally run leagues. And yes, there's one or two bad apples. I understand that. Ultimately, there's a lot of really good people who do a phenomenal job. So my thanks to all of you who run leagues, who play in leagues, who keep things interesting. Just, yeah, I love this community. I love to be part of it. I feel a great responsibility towards it. I don't take that lightly. But yeah, just amazing. Even like guys at the Fantasy Game Day app who have started, we now have in the UK our own DFS gaming app for our own community. Like, it's wild how good this community is and how much it's grown, and how thankful that we are as people who might have been early to it, might have helped grow it in some capacity. I think just to be part of it in some way is an incredible honor and feat. And for that, I'll always be proud, regardless of whether we do one more podcast or 1,000 more podcasts.
Absolutely. It's championship week and we've already got soppy and there isn't a single result in yet. So there you go. That's how you know the true golden nature of this podcast, Murph. We're We're here to chat ball and make friends, right? Family football podcast. That's family football friends, I think it says on the back of my 5-yard jumper. So that's the true nature and mantra of this podcast. But hey, filling the harbour is always nice, right?
Yeah, and fingers crossed there'll be 15 or 16 in my harbour tomorrow or next week. And I'll be victory lapping to heart's content next week. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to win them all, but... listen, if I can take a few down, I'll be very, very happy. We'll see how I end up. There's obviously some leagues in there that mean a bit more to me than others. With no disrespect to any of them that I'm in, but nevertheless, fantasy title is a fantasy title. It's well earned. It's not fluke at this stage of the season. Yeah, hard work, grit, determination get you there. You've outlasted a lot of people to get to where you are. Good luck to those who are in the Scottish. Well, shout out to Paul, FF Goatball, the one of the last two remaining in the UK who has made it through to the Scottish World Final. He's repping 5-yard. Go, Paul. Bring it home for all of us. If he wins, he doesn't know this yet. He's going to come on the pod next week. If he says no, I'm going to drag him onto the pod next week. He's got no choice. even if he has to do it behind the black screen, he doesn't come on video, I don't care. He's going to come on. But yeah, shout out to Paul making the final. Fingers crossed to you. Fingers crossed to all of you in your fantasy championships. If we can help in any way, do get in touch. We'll do our best. It's obviously then that time of the year with families and Christmas, New Year's Eve, etc. So, I'm not going to lie. If I know that you interact with the podcast and I know that you interact with our content, I'm more likely to reply to you than if you don't. And that's not being horrible. I admittedly, the requests have gone down. I still get about 70 to 100 a week. I don't answer them all.
It's just the inside track, baby. It's just what being part of the family means, right? There you go, Rush Nation. Well, as Murph says, we wish you all the best of luck in your fantasy football matchups in the championship week. Unless you were playing us, then maybe not quite as much luck. But hey, we've got to fill that Murph-sized Royal Navy's harbour that he's filling up right now with all those titles he's bringing home. Rush Nation, as Murph said, running backs need their toes. And as always, don't forget, keep rushing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.